This past weekend was July 4th, as you know. And in that, we celebrated freedom from the tyranny of rule from Great Britain at the time. That freedom was paid for by the sacrifice of many. That freedom is somewhat impinged upon today. Things that were written by our forefathers have been slowly taken away, and I believe that more will be taken away in the near future. But we have the opportunity to continue to be free in Christ. Let's start with that as a topic, free and freedom. John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, 'If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How say you, ye shall be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin.'" Servant here is the word bond, slave. "And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be freed indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." The word free here has to do with to liberate. It has to do with being exempt from anything ceremonial. It means to deliver or to make free. Now, I know that we are reading from the King James Version, but let's take a look at a different version, the Amplified Bible Version. I'm not necessarily saying that this is more accurate, but it does help with us to understand things a little easier sometimes, and therefore gives us something to compare, not necessarily something to cast away other versions. So again, 8:31. "So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word,'" meaning continually obeying my teaching and living in accordance with them, "then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be set free?' Jesus answered, 'I assure you and most solemnly say to you, everyone who practices sin habitually is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in a household forever. The son of the master does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free.'" Now, I don't know if that really helps here, but I think it does bring out the point that when we talk about the truth shall make you free, what are we free from? And when I conclude, I'm going to take a look and summarize what we're free from, but also what we're not free from. So let's take a look briefly at just a couple other verses in John about truth and what truth is. So in John 1:17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." In John 3:21, it says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And in 14:6, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Christ is truth. And that truth will make us free, as we read in John 8:31. Now the Greek word that's used here is aletheia. It means true or truly or verity or truth. And it is used frequently through the New Testament, as is what we saw previously. It is a different word, though, than what we saw above in verse 831, where it has to do with I'm sorry. I'm confusing truth and free. Let's move on. Let's go to the word freedom and take a look at it to see what context it can give us to free or freedom. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:20, it says, "And whosoever lies carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid or slave, betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged, they shall not be put to death, because she was not free." Again, free from what? Free from bondage. "And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done. And the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him." In other words, he would be free from the sin. The word here has to do with freedom, has to do with liberty, as in from slavery, and is translated liberty frequently, but also freedom. New Testament freedom. Acts 22:28. "Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He's talking to Paul. He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. So the freedom that's talked about here is frequently translated in the context of citizenship or community, commonwealth, but is also translated freedom. So when he says, "I obtained this freedom," he is saying, "I obtained this Roman citizenship." Paul says, "But I was freeborn," different word, and it has to do with having complete liberty. It is the same word that we saw in John 8:31. If we look at just the word free, back again to the Old Testament, Psalms 51:9-12. Psalms 51 is a great humbling of David after Nathan the prophet had come to him and exposed the fact that he had sinned with Bathsheba. And so in 51:9-12, it says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." This free here has to do with being liberal or being generous, magnanimous. It has to do with free as well, meaning that it didn't cost him anything and was given him as a gift, as you will. Isaiah 58:6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke?" This free or freedom has to do with liberty as to bondage. And so we see breaking the yoke. A yoke was used on oxen, for instance, to be able to pull a plow or any other cart, etc. And so they weren't free to just walk wherever they wanted. They had to be bound together and therefore in bondage. Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit here. Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience were many made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So the word free here has to do with being delivered. It has to do with the Greek word charisma, it means deliverance. It's translated gratuity or endowment, religious qualification, and therefore free gift. And so we see that in this case, sin entered into the world, but to be free from sin took the free gift and obviously the life of Christ. That sacrifice freed us from the bondage of sin. In Romans 6, 18 through 23, it says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now see the contrast here. The bondage that was of sin is now the bondage unto righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, into iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift or free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This word is what we read earlier in terms of John 8:31. It means to liberate, it means to exempt, to deliver, to make free. Tony, doing a great job keeping up with posting. I really appreciate it. I know there's a lot of scripture here, but we're trying to make a point. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether ye be Jews or Gentiles, whether ye be bond or free, in other words, slave or free, and have been made and have been all made to drink unto one spirit. Again, same word that's used above, or used previously. And we see the contrast between bondage or slavery versus freedom. Galatians 5, 1 through 7. Stand fast or firm, therefore, in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See the contrast. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? again, the word here has to do with freedom. It is translated liberty. And, you know, think about what he's saying here in terms of circumcision. This was part of the law to be circumcised. Paul even had Timothy circumcised so that the Jews would accept him as opposed to following the way of his father who was a Greek and dismissing his Jewish heritage. Instead, Paul had him circumcised so that he could actually enter the temple. But he and they were under the bondage of the law, under the bondage of circumcision. They had to serve the law and do the whole law in order to be righteous. But they couldn't. No one has been able to do that except for Christ. And so it avails no one. And so the last line here, verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Notice the word truth here. The truth was the justification by faith, by grace, are ye saved, and not of works. And so the Jews were trying to put the law back on the Gentiles that were coming under grace, under Paul's teachings, and making them follow the rules, the ordinances, the rituals. Well, doesn't most churches today ask the same thing, that you follow their rules? It's not grace. It's you have to be baptized, circumcised, follow the communion, take that regularly. But I don't see them sacrificing. I don't see them doing everything else that's part of the law, because we're free from it. So let's take a look at Acts 13, verses 38 through 43. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified or free from all things, from which he could not be justified or made free by the law of Moses. So again, this exemplifies the point that we just made in Galatians. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the ordinances. Oh, wait, that's not what it says. Persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The word free or justified up here is the same word that's used both innocent as well as free or justified. We see this again, but a different word is used in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption, the freeing, the deliverance is by his grace, not by laws, not by ordinances. The word justified or freely here is gratuitously, without a cause, freely, or in vain. So let's now take a look at a few references about what we're free from because of the dispensation of grace. In our dispensation that Paul wrote in his last seven epistles, let's start in Ephesians. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So we've got peace because there's no longer enmity with us, with God. And that enmity was in the law, in the commandments. And we're no longer under that, we're under grace instead. And so, because the middle wall was broken down between Jew and Gentile, we have that opportunity to be blessed by grace, not by works. Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Gentile slaves could be made free, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Now it's interesting that the idea of masters versus slaves, right? So we have that here brought out. And it tells them to forbear threatening. What is a threat? It is instilling fear. What does religion today do? It says, do these things or you're going to hell. Isn't that threatening? Isn't that instilling fear? Isn't that how they keep their constituents in line? Continuing to tithe and continuing to do all the other things that they require of them? When in fact, we are free from that because of grace. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that kept us in bondage, in other words, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Who triumphs? Well, the winners triumph, right? Who are the winners in this case? Us. Because we're free from the ordinances. We're free from everything that was contrary to us. We're free from everything that kept us in bondage at that time. Continuing in Colossians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, therefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Subject, or slaves, why are we in bondage to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and the neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So here we have the freedom from all the ordinances, all of the commandments, all of the doctrines of men. If you are asked to become a member of many churches, they give you this list of things that you have to do. Many of them aren't necessarily part of the original commandments, certainly not the Ten Commandments. Those were pretty simple. I think we're still under those, maybe all but the Sabbath. But if we think about the freedom that we have as the body of Christ, we have no ordinances to follow. I think the only ordinance that Christ gave us was to love one another. Colossians 3:8-11. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We have this word free again, and it's free from any obligation or liability. Well, that's the ordinances. That's something that we were required to do, and now we're set free because Christ is all and in all. we have complete liberty. But with that liberty comes the responsibility to demonstrate that we're walking worthy. Not that we have commandments to follow, but we have the will of God, and through the will of God, that that pleases him. Last two references, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory. The word that we see here is justified, and it has to do with being made innocent or free. It has to do with being just, being righteous. And through that, believing, we have that grace. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That word justified is the same as above, that we read above in Timothy. It has to do with being righteous, but being free. And we are free by his grace. So, what are we free from? In summary, we're free from sin. We're free from slavery. We're free from the law. We're free from ordinances, rituals, traditions of men. We're free from eternal death because of Christ's death and resurrection. So in your own mind, what else are we free from? Think about that. As you think through what I've provided here in terms of some verses, there are many others that we could be free from. Maybe that's something that you would want to study further. But what are we not free from? Well, we're not free from the old nature. We're not free from pain and suffering. That doesn't come by grace. We're not free from persecution or death. We will die, but we do have eternal life. We're not free from the bondage of sin. Though we are forgiven, we will continue, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, to sin in some way. We're not free from the desire of the flesh, the eyes. We're not free from the flesh, the world. But what else are we not free from? We're not free from... we're not free from what? What else can you think of that we are not free from? And so, that's my conclusion. That's my summary. We are blessed to be free in this country, and yet those freedoms seem to be taken away on a daily basis, and yet we are free from eternal death because of Christ. And he is the truth that will make us free. Thank you. I'll open it up to questions that Barney and Mike can take for you. I'm sure that they have the answers.